In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have some notes for myself so that I don't forget to say everything that I want you to know, see, on this occasion. These are my last words to you before you begin your life as a novice. So you must listen carefully. That's why I wrote them down. Listen carefully. If you can, don't forget anything of what I'm telling you now. First, of course, I offer you my congratulations on behalf of your friends, the fathers, the seminarians, the sisters. You have been tried and tested and approved by your superiors, who have told me privately how much they value you, how much you please them, and how much of an asset you will be to the community. And so with all of this, I am pleased to bestow upon you today the holy habit of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. The reason why the priest imparts the habit is because, you see, in the person of Christ, He is giving you the habit, not I, He. So you must value it then very much. It's an invitation, and you responded freely. Remember, I asked you in the canonical exam that we had just a few days ago, remember, I asked you, are you doing this freely, with no constraint, whether interior or external? No constraint. No one is forcing you. You're doing this then without any degree of pressure of any kind. And so with that, you must renew daily, as all the sisters, you see, are doing. You must renew daily with generosity and love. Huh? Love, that's a big one, love. And poverty of soul, and confidence in trust and grace. You know why I say poverty? Because, you see, if yourself, you have nothing to give, nothing. But with divine assistance, you have everything to give, including your heart. And why do I put it that way? Because it is Almighty God that has created this in you, created this call, created you, and with you, this call. You have taken a circular path, it's true. Everybody has. But in the providence of God, see, you become a member of this community here and now. And you must be generous in your response, see, with love and dependent on God's grace, because, you see, it is divine assistance that will aid you in everything you do, divine assistance. And you can't ask for it unless you need it. See, I've told people many times in the course of penitential seasons, see, you want help? Ask for it. Ask for it. But you can't ask for it unless you really need it. Some people ask and they don't need it. They ask out of a habit because they're supposed to. See. But for those who know that everything comes from divine grace, from divine assistance, and that of themselves, they are absolutely nothing. They can do nothing. They are nothing. But with divine assistance, see, there's no limit to what they can do. And you have everything to give with divine assistance, with divine grace. This is a day of joy. A joy as you begin a new life, and with it, you are about to prepare for a total gift of yourself in religious consecration that will come after your time as a novice. And so now you begin your life of preparation, a life of preparation. Before then, you came here and you were being looked at, judged, deemed worthy or unworthy. And you did the same. Is this for me? Is this community for me? Is this life one that I'm destined for? And after all this time, you come to see, yes, dear Lord, this is for me. You brought me here, and I know you'll take care of me. I had to do the same thing myself many years ago. I remember, without telling you the full story, I remember. I was not made to feel welcomed where the house I entered. And I was very alone, very lonely. New country, new language, new customs. And as a result of that, I didn't even get my own room. I had a share room first night. But I remember, as I told the people here, I remember when I went to sleep that night, the window was opened, and I looked up into the stars. And I said what I want you to say. Lord, you brought me here. You. I came for you. Not for anybody here. Certainly not for me. I came for you. And you are the one that I want to please. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. And so as a result, that first night, because I said to them, to our Lord as well, I know you will see me through to the end. You will take care of me. Despite all that are in front of me, I know in the end that you will take care of me. Because it is for you that I came, and it is by your help that I have arrived. And look at me today. So you see, if you put yourself in the hands of the Savior, if you abandon yourself, if you do not trust in yourself, but trust in the divine assistance that is with you, then you have everything to look forward to, even sanctity. And that is your goal, after all, to be a saint, to be a handmaid, a bride of Christ, in the best way possible, as a saint, union with our Lord in his passion, to win many souls for our divine Lord, to be crucified with him. Here, you will begin with that, begin to learn what that means. And it is not mostly what you think. Many people come to a life like this, and they have what we call an agenda. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'll say these prayers. But all that behind you, all of it, here you will learn what it means to serve God efficaciously, wholeheartedly, holding nothing back, not even your own will. So you will study the vows of poverty, which means not, first of all, the giving up of goods, although that is included, but the stripping of yourself, of dependence upon yourself. Empty, poor in spirit. Chastity. Of course, you know what that means. And as well, it is the giving up of all the pleasures that normally you would be entitled to in the world. Chastity. The pleasures of the flesh. The pleasures of a married life and family. Yes, you are running away from it because you run into something greater. Because of your spouse, that you want to be a perfect spouse. And then, see, the stripping of your will, the stripping of your desires. And so, and that, by the way, is the supreme holocaust, the supreme sacrifice, the stripping of yourself. Well, this, of course, is what you are about to learn. And a new life, a new name. It is today, that's why it's a day of joy. It's a proximate call. Now everybody has a remote call to divine intimacy, to holiness. But in religious life, in the priesthood especially, but in religious life that is included, you will receive a proximate call to holiness. That is to say, that it is your vocation in a special way, in an intimate way, see, to have intimacy with God, intimacy with our Lord. And what that means, of course, is not only giving up the slavery of the body, of the world, of possessions, of vanity. And that's a big one, isn't it? I've said that many times. Vanity. See? And nobody is free of it. Vanity. Self-love. But here, you have been called to give all of that up, to live the life, are you ready? Of the angels. And the holy habit reflects that. The life of the angels, their purity, their single-mindedness, their contemplative prayer. That's what you're called to live. It is, despite what people think, and I know lots of people who think that this life, the life that you are about to begin, this life is a life, well, not only of running away, but a life of sadness, a life of sacrifice that demands or includes grief and sorrow. On the contrary. You know what Shakespeare said, what fools these mortals be. What fools? Because they don't realize the joy that is in a house like this. Joy. Happiness, peace. That's what you're called to live, as a prelude to the life of heaven. That's the reason why so many Carmelites, especially, see, they're preserved incorrupt even after death, because they have begun to live their heaven on earth. And especially so with this congregation, because it is priestly. There is no order in the church that has been founded like this by the Blessed Virgin directly, to aid and to assist in whatever way they can the apostolate, the life of a priest. Any way you can. See? Even the altar breads, everything, to aid the fathers in the offering of the Holy Mass. Their greatest joy is to assist at Mass and to be laboring at Mass and the extent and the offspring of Mass, if you want, in the day's work for your self-sanctification and the sanctification of others. And so by that, you will win many, many souls for God. There is no woman in the world, none, that does not want to be a mother. Every woman wants to be a mother. Everyone. And your would-be maternity is in this pure, chaste, spiritual way, by producing in union with the Savior many souls for heaven. So you're living a life of great fruitfulness. Don't ever forget that. You will be then trained in the vows to become a bride of Christ. True love, penance. There's a word, you see, that is uppermost in the life of the Carmelite. Penance. Doing penance for people's sins, sorrow for the sins that they are not sorry for. Making up for their faults that they don't even occur to them that they need to make up for. And you will take on that burden. So you will help them in many, many ways, things that you don't even appreciate. Your thoughts, your gestures, expressing true virginity and motherhood. That's something that I want you to remember as well. You're here to bear fruit. Christ commits to you. He commits to you by bringing you here, by giving you all the benefits, offering you all the benefits of this life in companionship with the other sisters who are with you, support you, help you, love you. But you must commit as well. Huh? You must commit as well. Commit yourself, your body and your soul, your heart, your mind, your love. All of that, you see, is what our Lord expects of you, to be a worthy spouse of Him. And because of that, you see, miracles of grace await you in the measure that you are united to Him in His passion. Now, part of the ceremony of this day is that, as you know, you go onto that cross of vines and flowers right behind you. You stretch out on it. And you, by that, tell our Lord and His Holy Mother, who was with Him on the cross, stood by Him, you tell Him that you want to be a partner of His, an associate of His. That's what the Virgin Mary was called to when our Lord died on the cross. Remember, St. Pius X said that the Virgin Mary was an associate, a sorrowful mother, offering her own son for her other children who did not appreciate her. But she was there. And you are with her. She was nailed to the cross too. Figuratively, but really. And you, out of compassion for the Virgin Mary, out of compassion for our Divine Savior's sorrows, you are and tend to be nailed to the cross as well, to be a victim with Him. So, you are a virgin, you are a mother, right? You are a victim. Similar to the priest at Mass, victim of his priesthood, priest of his victimhood, and you share in that just by that one gesture of prostrating yourself on the cross during this occasion, during this ceremony. Now, I want to say a word about the habit. Now, the habit is very old. It consists of different parts that I will talk about just a little bit to remind you of its significance. First is the tunic. And they're all blessed by God through the priest. So they're sacramentals. You must treat them with reverence. There's the tunic. You're clothed from top to bottom with the garment of Christ. There's the scapular, the yoke of labor. The scapular used to be a work apron that the religious wore for his daily chores, but it became part of the habit because it symbolizes the work that you must do to save souls. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's painful. But you wear that yoke all the time because of your generosity, because of your union with the salvation of souls' needs. It's in a way expressed most of all in the liturgy. And then there is the cincture of obedience, because you have no more will of your own. You make no more decisions by yourself, but always with the good of the house, the good of souls, the good of the sisters. Remember, I told you, you are here to serve. Not to be served, to serve, just like our Lord put it. The Son of Man comes, you see, not to be served, but to serve. And that's what you want to do, to be just like him, to serve. And in my opinion, that's the best definition of the priesthood, to offer your life as a ransom for many. And you share in that, just by that one garment of the leather belt, the cincture, which, by the way, is the mark of contemplative prayer. Obedience, renunciation, and the beads, the Brigittine crown, to pray for the most forgotten of us all, the souls in purgatory. That's part of your life as well. And then lastly, the mantle. The mantle of prayer, the mantle of angelic, contemplative, infused contemplation. You are called to live the life of the angels. And it is done through this mantle of perfect, uniting prayer. That's the habit. And so counseling, and by the way, it gives you as well the joys of heaven. There's one last thing. This is Laetare Sunday. And you know, of course, that this is the great promise. That's why it's the vestments are rose. Because it's the great promise you see here in this Mass of the Holy Eucharist. How fitting it is, don't you think? How fitting that you begin your life of a religious on the day that is dedicated to the promise of the Eucharist. This is not by accident, but it is by all, well, let's say, all practical means that God used to bring you to this day, on this occasion, of the life of the Eucharistic heart of Christ that you want to share. Victim and, yes, sharing even in his priesthood. Not, of course, by the way the priest does, but by assisting him. See? What mistake women make when they want to be equal to men and they have privileges offered to them by God that exceed all of this just in union with the Holy Eucharist. And that's for you. So, don't look back. Don't look back. Look ahead. And if you want to know what that means, I will give you no better author, no better source, no better authority than St. Paul. The things that were gained to me, these for the sake of Christ, I have counted loss. Nay more, I count everything loss because of the excelling knowledge of Jesus Christ. My Lord, for his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as dung that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a justice of my own, which is from the law, but that which is from faith in Christ, the justice from God based upon faith, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, become like to him in death, in the hope that somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or already have been made perfect, but I press on. That's the key. I press on. Hoping that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not consider that I have laid hold of it already, but one thing I do, listen closely, forgetting what is behind, I strain forward to what is before, I press on toward the goal, to the prize of God's heavenly call, in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's your hallmark. Press on to the goal. And you begin it today. And so, as we continue this Holy Mass, my thoughts are with you. My prayers are for you. My good wishes and my support are yours. And I want you to know as well that not only everybody here, but I especially, am prepared to do whatever is possible. Now that I have begun, I present you to God. I am now obliged and want to continue that vocation for you. I want to assist you so that anything you need, you know where to go. The sisters, the community, and me, to support you in this great goal of being a true bride, spouse, victim of Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless you.